As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
We're ordering one of everything at the Costco food court, and we're going to give it a boom or a doom. Let's go. Let me get one of everything.
Everything on the menu is $39.45.
This is a chicken bake. You already know what this is. Boom!
This is the quarter pound hot dog. Boom!
And here's the pepperoni pizza. It's finally really good. Another boom!
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, March 25th, 2024. Boom. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Boom goes the Dynamite away.
Next to him, it's the Bearded Woman, Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, including selecting these cold opens, super producer J.D.
Hello.
Hello, J.D. Hello to the stream team joining us live right now. Hit the like button, subscribe. Podcast listeners, we love you too. Leave your boys a five-star rating and review if you haven't already. Let's just jump right into it. Lots of winners and losers from the NBA weekend. We didn't have a wedgie. Now, I want to get ahead of this because I know someone's going to tweet in or write in. Hey, there was a wedgie in the Suns-Spurs game. You missed it. Well, it came as the whistle was called.
Yeah.
And they called it on the floor. It wasn't a shooting foul. I think if he had Devin Vassell had gone to the line, yeah, we count that. But they said side out.
Mm-hmm.
It was bang bang. But we're not counting that one. And then I guess we did have, was at least one wedgie in the men's NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we had one. And it was Ian Eagle on the
call.
Oh,
that's always fun.
Which was cool. Yeah. Because he really gave it his all.
Bird, as Bill Raftery calls him.
The Bird.
Yes. And you said Bill calls it a neck ball.
Neck ball. Yeah, the old timer's name for it.
Did you watch a lot of
that's
college hoops
spinarkle.
Over the weekend?
I was deep, baby.
Yeah? How's the bracket? Our bracket.
I don't think we're going to be winning this one, Skeets. No. Do we have our full Final Four out? No, I think we've got UConn still going.
Okay.
And maybe Purdue. I think we did have Purdue into the Final Four, and that guy Edie, he's dominating right now.
Oh, he can't stop the big man.
Dominant.
He's too big.
Zakeel O'Neal, as Shaq called him. He was good.
Zakeel O'Neal, that's
was
great,
good.
Actually.
He was good.
All right, so yeah, probably a lot of you out there watching college hoops, both the men's and women's tournament over the weekend, but there was some NBA games, so let's do our best to recap the winners and losers. Trey, you start us off here. Who's your big winner from the NBA weekend?
Stream team is already going crazy for this guy. The Timberwolves get a winner, but more specifically, Naz Reid gets a winner of the weekend. Friday, it was Naz night in Minnesota. Timberwolves gave out Naz Reid beach towels to everybody. They said on the broadcast 15,000 of these were given out. There was like 18,000 fans in attendance.
Oh, damn, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
Those final 3,000.
That would suck for those final 3,000s, but it made for an incredible visual because Naz went off in this game. 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 three-pointers, including a dagger where he just had the crowd chanting his name. They went to break. They played Made You Look by Naz, the rapper. And the people had all their towels out. And when it's 15,000 out of 18,000 people, it's covering the whole stadium. This was an incredible visual to see what it looked like. I haven't seen every Timberwolves game since they won their play-in tournament game, but it felt like the arena was the most hyped it's been since they won that one, and Patrick Beverley was up on the table, taking his shirt off and celebrating, whipping it around his head like a helicopter. That was an awesome night for Naz Reid and for the Timberwolves as well. He followed up on Sunday by completely taking it to the Warriors. Pre-game, Steve Kerr called Naz Reid a Warriors killer, because I guess he had a 30-point game against them last year. Yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy. 20 points, 12 rebounds, a steal, a couple of blocks, and 6 of 8 from the three-point line for Naz Reid in the win over the Warriors. This was a couple of awesome wins for Minnesota. Somehow they're still third in the Western Conference. That's just how it is right now. But Anthony Edwards only played okay, I thought, over the weekend against Cleveland. 16 points on 5 of 17 shooting. A little better against the Warriors. 23 points on 7 of 18 shooting. 8 assists to 2 turnovers. I like that. But on Friday, the Timberwolves got 15 from Jaden McDaniels, 21 from Mike Conley. Jordan McLaughlin hit 4 threes. They had 27 assists on 41 makes. On Sunday, Nikhil Alexander-Walker hit 3 threes. Monte Morris hit 2 threes. Kyle Anderson had 10, 6, and 5 coming off the bench. Closed the game for the Timberwolves. They had 30 assists on 40 makes. They're now 6-3 since Karl Anthony Towns went down with his knee injury. This is perfect for the Timberwolves. They look really good. They're obviously locked into each other. And you heard Naz Reid say it after Naz night. We're playing for each other right now. And when you look at the assists to field goals made, that totally plays for me, because it looks like they're just a very together team right now. Like, Edwards is getting off the ball so fast. He's making so many easy plays right now that it's just leading to great ball movement for the Timberwolves and easy looks. They were great this weekend. Naz Reid.
And beach towels. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
They're huge.
I love it.
In comparison to little baby towels that you often get when you go to an arena, you don't get anything bigger than a, like, looks like an 8x11 piece of paper.
Yeah,
like, that's how big it is.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
A little wave towel. Yeah.
They're tiny. This was huge, and that's why it looked so cool for the 15,000 fans. Those 3,000 fans got screwed. Yeah. They're holding. And did Naz Reid really have one on his shoulders? Or was that a thumbnail you just made up?
I believe that was like a
promo.
Yeah, like a promo shot earlier in the year.
Anyways, it looked awesome. Yeah. It looked awesome. For those 15,000 fans, they get their beach like 1 month a year in Minnesota. It's cold up there, man.
It almost, have fun. It was like taking me back to like 99 Raw at the Sky Dome when everybody would have signs at the wrestling events. Yeah. It sort of had that vibe to it when everybody was holding up their giant beach towels. They're just all the same.
That was really cool. They made like, I mean, the Timberwolves went crazy on social media as well. Like, they had all of their players just take turns saying Naz Reid. Everybody says it a little bit differently. Some people are giving you the full Naz Reid. Naz Reid. Naz Reid. You know, that was great.
Who was the best? I didn't see this clip, actually. Who
I don't know. I think Gobert was actually pretty good. I also like they had like all of their players walk in, then they would hand them a Naz Reid towel and they'd all put on their shoulders and walk in with Naz Reid on their back. Yeah. They love this guy, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. You said 99 Skydome. I thought there was a rap line because you mentioned they played Naz at the end of the Wolves game, but that was WWF when it's in town. That's a different line.
You're literally referencing Chuck Lair.
Yeah, who cares?
Incredible. Yeah, nice pull, man.
Yeah. That wasn't the exact line. They didn't say 99 Skydome when it was in town. They said WWF when it's in town with my homie, with this guy.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, sorry. That's a deep cut. Anyways, Naz Reid.
Canadian rap song.
Yeah, Naz Reid kind of looked like a deep cut for a lot of people around the NBA the last few years, until last year when he was awesome. Because he was a four-year player making the minimum, undrafted at LSU, and then he got this monstrous extension because he is awesome and because people love him. Now he's getting towels made for him. All good, man. All that is a really great story. And I think the worrisome part when Karl Anthony Towns went down, Trey mentioned it, is Anthony Edwards going to be able to play with him, just get used to him more in the fourth quarters, along with Rudy Gobert, just to get the last reps of the last 20-minute game, or 20 games before they go to the playoffs. They haven't needed them. And I think Monte Morris was actually pretty good in this game, coming off the bench. The guy that they got at the trade deadline was key in those fourth-quarter minutes, because this was a close game until, we'll get to the Golden State Warriors, until the Warriors sat Steph, and then Monte Morris was big. They took over in that fourth quarter.
I like chilling. Monday Night Raw watching. Yes. Me and Danny O at the Sky Dome when it's in town. My peoples know. I just be regulars. That's what you're referencing. Yeah,
Danny O.
Danny O.
Who's Danny O?
That was Sean Clair in the Canadian rap anthem, Northern Touch. What a pull there from Tassie. My God.
I didn't rap it like that, though.
No, but you were on the right
Who
path.
Who is Danny O?
Danny O, that's his boy. They always go and watch wrestling.
I know that podcast, right? Is it good?
That's Matty Ho.
Oh, his brother.
I know Danny Go. He makes kids videos.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
Danny Ho.
But there's a Danny Ocean, Venezuelan singer. I'm looking that up.
I honestly just think it's his buddy. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
just a wrestling buddy.
Just a friend of this guy.
Yeah. Like I had Kenny. I had Joel. Those were my Danny O's. You know, go watch Monday Night Raw when it's in town.
When it's in town.
Okay. Nas Reed. Drop your Nas Reeds in the chat if you haven't already. All caps locks, of course. Tass, let's go to you. Who else do you have for a winner of the weekend?
Keon Ellis of the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
It was a few months ago. It was the middle of December. Keon Ellis was coming off the bench. Davion Mitchell was hurt at the time, so Keon Ellis was playing. And I said what I thought was the smartest thing I've ever said. I said, Keon Ellis is going to take Davion Mitchell's minutes, even when he comes back. That was stupid. Keon Ellis is now starting. He's that good. Kevin Huerter is injured. He may be out the entire season. Keon Ellis has come in there and played awesome. He actually went and played in Orlando this weekend, which is very close to his hometown of Eustis. I didn't know that place existed. Eustis, what a name.
Josh Eustis? Yeah, doesn't he do a podcast? So,
podcast too, right?
Jay Eustis. Drop the H.
Eustis.
Yeah, he had 100 members of his family and friends in town for the game. That's a pretty good ripoff. I meant to rip. I'm getting it. Not that he ripped anybody off. I just mean like 100 of friends at a game. That's pretty awesome. They come in and they see high scoring game of his career. 19 points in this one. 4 splashing threes. That's why he can play beside De'Aaron Fox. And also, he can just play freaking defense. This team is 4.5 points per 100 possessions, better with him on the floor. That's fantastic stuff. And he was setting up Domantas Sabonis in this game. He had 6 assists, 5 of them to Sabonis. I don't know how you give out assists in today's NBA. Those things have to be evaluated. They're not right. Anyways, that has nothing to do with Keon Ellis' game. He was great as a secondary creator with Sabonis. 19 points were great. He had a huge step back with 2 minutes left in this game. And it's great because he doesn't try and drive. He just does what he has to do out there. They're mainly splashing threes and passing the ball when he's on the court. And he plays great defense. As I said, they win a game where Malik Monk stunk off the bench. They only got 7 points off the bench. Monk had 0. And Orlando shot 43.7% in this game. They got it done at the end with De'Aaron Fox, which was a great shot to make there. He had the game winner, really. But anyways, great moment for Keon Ellis for 19 points, 6 assists in this one.
Get ready to learn the name Keon Ellis if the Kings, you know, obviously going to be in the play-in at the very least, but maybe into the playoffs. And we said it last week, like, he's going to get the matchup of the best perimeter player on the other team. Like, his name's going to pop up a lot because, oh, a couple quick fouls against, you know, one of the better guys in the league, or he's shutting a guy down, or, oh, so-and-so went, what? They went 5-for-22 in game 3? Yeah, it was all Keon Ellis. Like, that's going to be what you're hearing here from the Kings, but weird call in that game too, Sacramento and Orlando. Did you see where De'Aaron Fox was like at the half line and Suggs is up on him, putting a pressure, and he taps him, he touches him. Can't say he really pushed him. And the ref's right there, and like Fox is like trying to, like, he's sort of like losing his balance as if he was like falling off a cliff, or like you're at the edge of the dock or something. You don't want to fall into the water. And then eventually steps back, and then the ref's like, oh yeah, you pushed him. But it was like the slowest reaction to a push ever. Very weird. It was actually a big call, too, for Sacramento to pull it out. But, good win from the Kings.
There was some weird rip-offs. Let's call them rip-offs.
This one was a rip-off.
Yeah, there was. And then there was the one, Paolo Banchero got down low. Keegan Murray stopped him. And then De'Aaron Fox came out of nowhere to rip the ball from behind from Paolo Banchero's hands. They called it a foul. The entire Sacramento Kings bench got up. I respected each and every one of them, especially Jordy Fernandez, the Canadian head coach. He didn't even – usually when you challenge a play, you're looking at the video. He didn't even look at a thing. He just went up to Mike Brown, challenged that thing. Jay Trano was there. He was just there. Leandro Barbosa, he's an assistant coach. He was just there. Yeah. I just like saying their names. But
A lot of Canadian connections on the bench
for
there.
Sure.
So many Kings. Yeah. Chris Duarte, also there. There's just some weird stuff. And just quick stat here. Domantas Sabonis, 53rd straight double-double.
Oh, yeah.
Tying Kevin Love's streak in 2010-11. That's the longest since the ABA-NBA merger in 76. So it's going to be Sabonis' record, I assume.
Next game.
Next game, yeah.
Guys, double-double machine.
Next.
No problem. All right, so Naz Reid, Keon Ellis, winners of the weekend. Let me go next here.
These
Jalen Green.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, I know.
We're deep cutting right now.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, some of our answers I was thinking about, I was like, man, I feel like we did them last week or maybe the week prior, and we'll get to them, but give me Jalen Green and the Rockets. Jalen Green and the Rockets as a winner of the weekend. They only played once, and it was on Saturday, but Jalen Green scored 41 points. Ho-hum, 41 again for this guy. Van Vliet added 10 three-pointers in this game. Rockets hit 27 bombs as a team. They beat the Jazz 147-119. Their eighth straight victory. That's their longest win streak since 2019. It improved the Rockets' record to 35-35. They are back. Mm-hmm. And they have closed, after the weekend was said and done, to within one game of Golden State for that 10th and final play-in spot in the Western Conference. A couple weeks ago, Şengün went out. We were like, oh, that's a tough blow. They'll still play hard for Udoka. They obviously got these young talent. Jalen Green's getting it going here. But I said it. I was like, I think it's a little too late. I think they're going to come up just short of a play-in spot. And here they are one game back. Mm-hmm. Now, it's sort of a technically two games back from the Warriors type of thing because Golden State has the tiebreaker, so they will have to leap them. But this is wild. There's still, what, we got 12 games left for most of these teams. A lot of them are at the 70-game mark.
Yep,
it's in play.
It is.
That they could sneak in here, especially when you pair it with how the Warriors have been playing, which I know we'll get to later. But March Jalen Green, he's basically Tracy McGrady right now, this guy.
He's on fire, man.
He is averaging 28 points per game in the month of March. That's 11 games now. Shooting 51% from the floor, almost 42% from three. He's chipping in about 6 boards per game, 3.5 assists. His plus minus has exploded. Like, he's a positive player every game here during this win streak. So it's just fun to see how long he can keep this heater going. Because in March, he scored 34 points against the Suns to basically start the month. He had 37 a week and a half later in a win over the Wizards. Two games after that, he scored 42 in 35 minutes against Washington. And then on Saturday, like I said, 41 points in less than 33 minutes. Mad efficiency. He's hitting the three ball. He's getting inside still, highlight after highlight. And Houston, I can't believe this. Like, they could get in here. You may be picking them at this point when you compare the two teams, Golden State and Houston, how they've looked recently.
They're at least trending the right way, and you can't say that about Golden State. I was trying to figure out how in the world is Jalen Green doing this. And I think first and foremost, part of it's the schedule. I mean, they're beating up on some bad teams here that have completely given up, whereas obviously the Rockets haven't. But also, with Şengün going out, Jabari Smith became the starting center for the Houston Rockets, so they just got five out basically the entire time. And I think it's also, I think that's catching teams by surprise a little bit because there's just so much more space for Jalen Green. He's doing a great job of attacking, staying downhill, and like actually getting to the rim. So I think that catches teams off guard. And I think it probably also catches teams off guard that the best athletes on this team aren't in the backcourt. Like, it's kind of weird, right? Like, Fred VanVleet, he's a slower kind of guy. Dylan Brooks, he's not out there for his athleticism. Obviously, Green on the wing is a super athlete, but guys like Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, they're going to be the best athlete that they go up against most of the time in the front court. So they're able to just fly up and down the court. They've also got such a deep team with so many prospects that nobody's tired. Right? Like, everybody's playing three quarters of the season for this team. So the guys that are still there right now, they've got the juice to take it to these bad teams that are ready to go home already.
Yeah, you're right. Houston will finish it strong. I don't think they do it.
You don't think they get in?
Because they stink on the road. They are 10-24 on the road. The majority of the games left are on the road. 7 on the road, 5 at home. Plus that tiebreaker thing with Golden State, that's got to be the team that they catch no matter what happens in the last game that they play Golden State, because they do play them one more time. Golden State has the tiebreaker because they've already beat them twice. And no matter what happens in that game, now we'll get to Golden State. Their schedule is tough. There's no doubt their schedule is tough. But again, the Rockets are stinky when they get on the road. But who knows? Ime Udoka's got these guys playing together because they came to a point in this season where they could have just fell apart. They started ridiculously strong. The win streak, they look so good. And then around the All-Star game and trade deadline, it just looked like they're falling apart. But somehow, I have to give credit to Madoka for these guys just playing extremely hard together.
Yeah, and again, they hit 27 threes. I mean, you're helped out when Van Vliet has one of his games where he hits 10. I think he tied the franchise record with probably, what, Harden and Chandler Parsons or something like that. I think it's some it's a weird Parsons name in a Harden, up. I believe. But yeah, the Rockets, they're
a weird
they're
name
so,
in a Harden.
They're so fun to watch right now too, with how hard they're playing. They're getting into a fight every damn night.
Oh, yeah.
They really are going to bat for each other. And then just Jalen Green on a heater. Yeah, it's a must-watch Rockets right now as they try and get in. And regardless, whether or not they do, whether they come up a game short or two, this is an incredible season. You talked about this last week, so we don't need to go over it too much more. But, like, Udoka coming in there, setting an identity. You have all these young guys. And I heard Bill Simmons throwing out the idea, should they explore trading Şengün? It's like, what the hell? Whoa, man. Okay, I know you came up with the Ewing theory and all that, but, like, slow the brakes. You said it, TK. I think if Şengün is there, they're probably winning a lot of these games.
Possible.
They're playing, you know, Wizards and Jazz and stuff like that here. No. If anything, it's just unlocked. Maybe we can play big through him, and we also have this option to play a little faster with Jabari as the center at times, right? In particular matchups. But good run here from the Rockets. Let's do another round. TK, who you got?
Another round of winners. I got to give one to the New Orleans Pelicans. On February 23rd, the Heat beat the Pelicans in New Orleans. A little skirmish on the court, a little squirmy, wormy. A bunch of players were ejected. Post-game, Jimmy Butler said, we'll beat them the next time, too. We're just a better team.
Mm-hmm.
The next time was Friday. And to paraphrase Tass Mellis, the Pelicans gave it to the Heat bottom. New Orleans allowed 88 points, hit 18 threes, and completely whomped on the Miami Heat. This one wasn't even close. Huge game for CJ McCollum. He had 13 points, hit 6 threes, 7 assists, just a couple of turnovers. It's his second 30-point game in a week, which they absolutely need. Mm-hmm. With Brandon Ingram out on Sunday, just a dominant Zion Williamson game against Detroit. He had 36 points on 13 of 14 field goals, including 10 of 14 at the line, 7 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals. He made at least 2 right-handed layups I saw in this game.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he's like, you know, Anthony Edwards, when they get up in a blowout, he wants to shoot bank shots.
Yeah.
I feel like Zion, when the Pelicans get ahead, he's like, I'm going right-handed. All
right. Do you think we'll ever see him look at his right hand?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Maybe. I do. I think if he hits a weird one.
Sure.
Or like a really, really tough one, he'll definitely celebrate by looking at his right hand. And people are like, oh, yeah, he's left-handed, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I thought a nice response from the Pelicans after the Brandon Ingram news. They're a half game back of the Clippers after the weekend. And New Orleans has the Thunder, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Suns coming up next. So they absolutely needed these couple of wins here, especially with Brandon Ingram down for at least 2 weeks. We'll see how long he actually stays on the bench.
Yeah, Zion Williamson also just wants to go right when he can go right and then finish with his left hand too. There was minutes there where I'm sure somebody on the bench said, make him go right. And he does go right, but he's still able to get to his left hand because he's that damn good. And they're chasing those Clippers who lost to the 76ers yesterday. James Harden against his old team didn't look too good. Left right after the game, didn't talk to media. And then he has to go Wednesday into Philadelphia to play in front of those old fans.
Mm.
That'll be fun.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously watching that 4-5 position there in the West. That was an ass kicking against the Heat. That was a nice, we remember what was said.
Yeah.
And we're going to come into your barn and dominate you. And then to follow it up, you know, it can be one of those trap games. Like you can sort of give it up to the Pistons, but took care of business, you know, to finish that road trip with that 3-1 record. Very, very solid. And now go home for that 6-game homestand, but a lot of good teams, as TK said. So see if they can keep it going. But man, Zion right now, I'm getting very excited for the postseason. Very excited. Again, like some of these guys, Ant, SGA, Zion, in playoff matchups. Like that's where we're like, oh, they try and take things away. The game obviously changes a bit, and the superstars go to the next level. So very, very pumped for that.
Yeah, also good move by the New Orleans Pelicans Twitter account saying we're just a better team after the win.
Good clap back.
That was nice. Fun times.
Tass, who do you have for another winner?
I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks because they thrashed OKC. It was an Atlanta Thrasher type of win. They killed them. OKC had 93 points, the fewest of their season. And Milwaukee made them shoot only 37%. Shea had a quiet 12. Now, it was a fun game. going into the third quarter. It was close. It was a one-point game at half, but it was the third quarter that really turned things. So it was a 118-93 win. So I don't think that Milwaukee has OKC's number by any means, but OKC is going to struggle against the teams that are huge. That is the one thing. They out-rebound them by a ton. That is the thing for OKC to deal with come postseason. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, he posted on IG before this game. It was really after their last game. You got to play the cards you're dealt. I'm not sure what that means, but 30 points, 19 rebounds, no threes shot for Giannis Antetokounmpo. This was just a big team. And Chris Middleton, since he's come back, he's looking good. Triple-double, his first triple-double since 2018. That's a long time ago. 11, 10, and 10. And with Middleton back, you got a new big four with Giannis, Dame, Brook Lopez, and Chris Middleton starting. Who's the fifth guy? It's Malik Beasley to start with them. And then their bench can go off. This bench is better with all that balance. And in this game, Bobby Portis, Jay Crowder, and Pat Connaughton had 36 combined of their 44 points. They really, really did it to them. And Bobby Portis did it to Chet Holmgren. If you saw it, he's 6'10", Chet Holmgren 7'1", so a few inches in difference. Took him in the post, hit a little hook on him, and as he was running back, he saw his teammate, Andre Jackson, on his own bench do the too small thing. So then Bobby said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to do the too small thing here on the court. He did. He gave it to Chet Holmgren. They really just beat him in the third quarter. I just think they're starting to understand who they are. Now I get why Giannis tweeted, you got to play the cards you're dealt. It's Chris Middleton's back. Now things are good again. Maybe. Who knows?
Frank,
they look good, obviously.
Frank Madden, who follows the Bucks, tweeted last night that the Bucks now boast the NBA's best point differential in games against top 10 teams. So they play really well against the elite teams in the league. That was a huge, dominant second half, like you said, against OKC. You know, you start to go, like OKC, lack of size. Is that going to come back to hurt them in a postseason? We'll find out. They just did a great job on SGA as well. There are not many games I've watched OKC this year where it's like he's taken out of the game just because of their length and their size. They just can get – like he just wants to get to the paint. He wants to touch paint every time, obviously score, set guys up, get to the line. But Milwaukee did a really good job of taking that away. Good win from them, and they're sort of like clearly establishing themselves as the second best team in the East here as we hit the home stretch. Cavs injuries come into play, you know, a couple other teams behind them, but it's Boston one, you know, with a bullet, and then it's Milwaukee, and we'll see whether or not they meet up in the postseason.
And I think if you are the Bucks, you got to be looking at the Celtics thinking, we can do what we did against OKC, against the Celtics, because the size will be the advantage for Milwaukee in either of those matchups, and it was big boy basketball, 58 points in the paint, 15 offensive rebounds for Milwaukee as well. You had Malik Beasley just crawling on the ground to save a ball, getting it up to Giannis for an and one. They're bought in right now. One of my favorite quotes I heard on the broadcast was Giannis put Chet in the basket at one point for an and one, and Marcus Johnson said, "You better eat some more pancakes, young fella." Then he got too smalled by Portis later. Portis eats pancakes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Takes him down, no doubt.
Yeah, that was a nice wall that they built against Shea. That's essentially what they're doing. It was the Giannis wall that other teams build against Giannis that they built. The other thing I like from Giannis' Instagram, sorry I'm going to Giannis' Instagram, I find this interesting as they go into the playoffs here, Giannis trying to get his second title. He said he asked Kelsey Plum, is it harder to win your first title or your second? She said it's second because you know what you need to do. That's a LegalZoom ad, really. That's what it was. It was an ad for LegalZoom. This is not an ad, but I think that was a good ad. And he wrote down as a caption for this ad, seek advice from someone who's been there, done that. That's a pro move.
It's a pro move.
Kelsey got paid. He got paid. We did not. That was not an ad here for LegalZoom.
Before we spin off of the Bucks here, Ziggy was in the stream team early, making the case for where's the Giannis for MVP love. He has jumped SGA and Luka in the MVP tracker on Basketball Reference. It's Jokic still with a significant percentage, I think over 50%. But then Giannis is there in second. And Ziggy, he's making the case that he gets overlooked.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's fair. Even back to last year, and of course this year, the numbers he puts up, the record now getting up there from Milwaukee, that's fair. He's not going to win it this year. It's going to go to Jokic. It really is. But you're probably right, Ziggy, that he's just so good. He's been elite for so long that we get more enamored with the new name, the fresh name, the guy that doesn't have one. you know, in an SGA or a Luka that you want to talk yourself into. Obviously, the Tatum and his record and the Celtics record. So, yeah, it's fair. You're a homer. You're a homer, Ziggy, but it's fair. He is pretty damn incredible. Final winner of the weekend. Let's give it to the Lakers because they picked up two wins over the weekend. They couldn't have been more different. On Friday, Anthony Davis, 23 points, 19 boards, in a 101-94 victory over Philadelphia. The Lakers committed 21 turnovers in this game. It was their lowest scoring game almost of the calendar year. I think you had to go back to early January to find when they only scored that few points. LeBron said after the game, ugly, but we got the job done. And it was. It was one of those games that just pulled it out in the end. Wasn't the prettiest basketball in the world, but they got it. D'Angelo Russell in that game set the Lakers record for three-pointers in a single season. He became the fourth player to hold the single-season record with multiple teams when it comes to three-pointers. You guys want to do some quick trivia? They're all current players. Three other guys have the record for most three-pointers made in one season for two franchises.
One season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harden?
No.
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 Kyrie Irving?
No. These are good guesses.
Okay, let me...
One is like a known three-point shooter. Like, that's really all he does. He's one of the greatest three-point shooters of the last...
Buddy Hield?
Buddy Hield.
Okay.
Pelicans and Pacers. So he has those records. And then the other two are superstar players, like all NBA players, that shoot a lot of threes and obviously make a lot of threes, but you don't... I guess you think of them just more multifaceted.
KD?
No. No.
Superstar. Ooh,
yeah, but these, but I mean, like, okay, superstars. They're all NBA guys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Have been, maybe will be this year. Well, one won't because of games played now.
Mitchell?
Donovan Mitchell. Cavs, okay, and Jazz. One. And then one other guy in the West.
In the Western Conference, Paul George?
Bingo. So D'Angelo Russell with the Lakers and Nets, Paul George with the Clippers and Thunder, Donovan Mitchell, Cavs and Jazz, and Buddy Hield, Pelicans and Pacers. D'Lo shooting a career best 42.4% from three. And he makes almost three a game. Like this guy.
Pretty good.
You want to talk about an X factor come play-in games or potential, you know, playoff matchups. It's him. So then on Sunday, no D'Angelo Russell. He's got like some illness. He was sick. So Spencer Dinwiddie gets the start. He has his best game as a Laker. Scored 26 points. He had a really good weekend, Dinwiddie. He scored 37 points for the Lakers over the weekend. He came into those two games averaging less than 5 points per game for LA since he'd been there.
Yeah, he hasn't done much.
No. So really good from him. AD was a monster again, 36 and 16. LeBron did his part, especially late. And they outscored the Pacers 150 to 145. Not an overtime game, not a double overtime game. 150 to 145. So two really different games for the Lakers, but both victories. And sort of a lot of these things were like they got leads and then they held off the teams that sort of got back into it, especially the Pacers there. Put up a 46-point final period. But they were up like quite a bit, so they got the W.
151 for so close to a combined 300 points. I love seeing combined 300 close. Points. I'm such a geeky numbers guy. I think this is a good win for the Lakers overall because I think it means that they're going to host a play-in game.
Yeah.
And that's good for them because they stink on the road. They really, really do. They're 12 and 20. That's not good. And they only have two more home games the rest of the way. The majority is on the road. Two and then nine on the road. But I still think they are going to host one. I don't think they're going to catch anybody in the 7 or 8 seed. Doesn't look like it, but they'll be hosting whoever it is, the Warriors or the Rockets.
Yeah, for sure. And Indiana coach Rick Carlisle, he was annoyed after this game. There was a lot of free throws to the Lakers. Now, a lot of them came when the, like, it, you know, when they were just trying to get back in the game and playing the old foul game and sending the Lakers to the line. So they hit a bunch there, but 43 free throws to the Pacers 16, and Indiana was called for 31 fouls to Los Angeles 14. You know, again, a lot of that AD, LeBron putting pressure on the rim, but Rick was not happy. I feel like we've had like three or four Lakers games where it's like this has been the fallout from the game, right? It's like, what the hell? Look at the difference.
But they draw a ton of fouls.
They do.
And they do. To me, I was actually kind of feeling bad for the Pacers because with the starting lineup of Rui Hachimura, LeBron, and AD, it was just who is the shortest guy that's guarding one of those three? We're throwing it into him in the post every single time. Just mismatch hunting the entire night. So four players on the Lakers scored 25 or more from the starting lineup, right. And it just kind of felt like we're outsizing you here. Anthony Davis, I had to go back and do a lot of digging to find his in-season tournament finals numbers. 41 and 20. I didn't remember if it's 40 or 41, but it was 41 and 20, followed up with 36 and 13 here. Don't think there's a matchup for them against Indiana.
No, no. They play again this Friday, these two teams, the Lakers and Pacers. So
I would go over 30 and 10 for Anthony Davis.
Okay,
there.
Okay. Put it down. Put it down. I like it. We got to take a break. That's our winners of the weekend. When we come back, we'll do losers and tweet of the night.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Great cha-chings, JD. Just nailed it. We didn't even practice. Just laughing over there.
That was good stuff.
Okay, good.
No, I like the word numbskull. Haven't heard that in a long time. Great word. Yeah. And the Shakira reference. I thought I saw a recent Shakira in a video. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe I thought she was going on a world tour. There's some rumors. No, it's not it either.
No?
No. Anybody? Has anybody taken in some Shakira recently?
No.
I could have sworn I saw her somewhere. Not in person. And I don't think it was a Lee Ellis video, but maybe
I
it
saw
was.
Her somewhere.
I feel like we were talking about her recently. Within the last month, her name has been said in this Classic Factory.
Oh, wow.
But I can't remember the context. I can't remember if it was on the air or not.
Well, she just wrote a song. Good, she wrote a song about her ex.
Oh. Gerard
she says
PK?
It's going to be the last one she Gerard writes about him.
Great call, Gerard Pique.
She looks incredible still.
I didn't know. I just saw
I would
it
like
over
to see that
shoulder.
Video of her from the Super Bowl when she went, ah! It's been a while.
How old do you think Shakira is?
42.
Okay.
Great guess. 41.
Oh, Grace is the right style.
Wow. Give me a 45.
47.
Wow.
Incredible. Incredible. Looks amazing. She doesn't look 47. Holy moly. She looks like exactly how you like remember her. Like from, I don't know, when did she come around? 20 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
probably.
Been a while since She-Wolf came out.
Yeah.
Oh, similarly, people ask, how old is Jennifer Lopez? And everybody's like, ah, she looks like she's 38.
Right.
Because she was out with Ben Affleck at a Laker. Yeah, he was
yeah,
mad.
The Laker
he was
game.
Mad. He was mad. Like, it was taking forever. Yeah. I just want to see how old Jennifer
Oh,
Lopez
Isaiah
is.
Says in the stream team that a new Shakira album dropped this past Friday.
There you go. Shakira's back,
that's
man.
Where it was.
There you go.
Nice.
Oh, all Spotify right. got me.
Spotify got you, man.
Justin Timberlake has a new album as well. That's for you.
I saw that he does. Yeah. I haven't consumed it yet. The only thing I listened to this weekend was Waxahachie.
What's that?
What's that?
Just a singer-songwriter. Very good. Very good record.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, works.
Check it out.
Yep.
Good name. Let's go to losers of the weekend. We'll do a batch of these. Trey, who's at the top of your list?
Well, LT Zotas Mellis mentioned it earlier. The Golden State Warriors are my loser of the weekend. Let's talk about the game last night playing against the Timberwolves. Oh! There's a Timberwolf in the closet. Warriors leading Minnesota heading into the fourth quarter. Steph Curry resting on the bench. Back-to-back threes for Minnesota. So suddenly they're up three. Some basketball happens. Rudy Gobert gets a dunk. Mike Conley gets a steal, which turns into an easy layup that puts Minnesota up four. Timeout. Timeout, says Steve Kerr. We got to settle things down. Still no Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Still no Steph Curry. And it's run out for after run out for Minnesota. Curry finally checks back in with 6 minutes and 50 seconds. 6 minutes and 50 seconds left. At this point, Minnesota is up eight. Eventually, Golden State's able to tie it up, but Minnesota goes on to win. And it just seems to me that the Warriors are having a lot of trouble anytime Steph Curry is off the court, obviously. But more importantly, they cannot put 48 minutes of good basketball together because they gave up 68 in the second half against Minnesota. That comes after their loss on Friday against Indiana. The Warriors lead at half. Pacers score 36 in the third quarter. They just ran the Warriors out of the gym in the second half. It was capped off by Chris Paul getting tossed for calling Tony Brothers a TikToker with too much power, which honestly is a great line. He had like a Tony Brothers interview ready to go to post on his Instagram story after the game was over. He said, "You think I'm just beefing with Scott Foster? I can do it all."
Yeah.
But the thing with the Warriors, they're in the play-in tournament right now. They have to win every game they possibly can right now. So I was surprised to see Steph Curry play under 30 minutes in a game that they absolutely needed to win. Like we mentioned, they're one game up on the Rockets right now. Maybe you would call it two games. They've got another game to play against each other April 4th, I believe, which is going to be a huge game. But disappointing weekend for the Warriors. And you mentioned it earlier, Skeets. The Rockets are trending upwards. They're a rocket. The Warriors, they're falling down. Because they're just losing games that they shouldn't lose. I don't have a reference for what they're like.
That would have been a tough
yeah.
A Warrior reference that's falling? Tough one. But, as you said, they need to play Curry more. I think that's key to them winning. And maybe he feels a little bit tired because he has to do a lot when he's out there. They won his minutes by 6 points against the Timberwolves. And they lost his minutes that he was on the bench by 10.
Right.
And that's why they lost. But Steve Kerr was asked by our Anthony Slater, what do you think about the whole Curry thing? Was there a reason you kept him on the floor for those fourth quarter minutes? And Steve Kerr brought up that they have 5 games in 7 days. It's actually 5 and 8, Steve, anyway. And 8 of their last 12 are on the road, and they have a pretty tight schedule, but they're a pretty good road team. So it is going to come down to the wire for sure. But yeah, I just wonder if it's all, when all is said and done, it's going to catch up to them. As you said, they got to win games. And then if they make the freaking play-in, they got to win on the road. And then they got to win on the road. And then they got to go play a 1-8 series on the road, which would be extremely hard.
Yeah, I think he's definitely trying to, like, of course, rest his superstar, get him some minutes here and there. Maybe a part of it's because he's struggling a little bit, too, since he's come back from that injury, the ankle injury. His last two games, Steph Curry's 9 of 24. That was in that loss to the Pacers, 6 of 18 from deep, which is just weird to see for him. And then, you know, 5 of 11 against Minnesota, but overall 9 of 21. And, like, there are not many easy shots for Steph Curry right now either is a big part of this equation, too. So, you understand, he's obviously trying, you're just trying to squeeze every little last bit of out of this guy for this home stretch and potential playing games and maybe playoffs, but you're just going to have to win these, too, with the Rockets right on your heels, so... Not looking good. I mean, I'm really torn too. Like, I don't have a dog in this race. Like, I don't really care who's in the play-in, but on one hand, I want to see Steph Curry. You always want to see Steph Curry, especially when we're talking like a one game to advance or one game to stay alive if it's a 9-10 matchup. So you want that. But then on the other hand, I'm like, I just got done talking about, man, the Rockets are really fun to watch right now. Like, they obviously play defense and it's like, they're just a little more inspired and they're like a feel-good story. It's like, would I rather see them try and take down LeBron and AD? I don't know. I'm torn. I guess you can't really go wrong. You either get Steph Curry trying to save and drag his team to another game or you get a fun young Rockets team against the Lakers.
I don't know if I have a preference. I probably would lean towards Steph, but
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. You can play him as much as you need to right now because the season isn't that long for the Warriors, I don't think. It doesn't, even if they win in the play-in tournament, I don't think that they would be favored in an eighth seed against a Nuggets team.
No, no. And then, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what's the offseason going to look like for Golden State?
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? You know, is it goodbye Clay? Is it goodbye Chris? Is it retooling around Steph?
They need a second guy at this point. Yeah. They don't really have a second guy. Like, some nights it's Kuminga. Like, he'll have a great 25-point game on 11 of 14 shooting or something like that. Clay can get hot at times still, but there's not a reliable second option. It's basically Curry, can you carry us to every single win? Mm-hmm. And no wonder he's exhausted at this point.
Yeah, they absolutely need a second guy. That is definitely the thing that some hope for Andrew Wiggins to bring that thing around. I got a dog in this. It's Andrew Wiggins. We're Canadian. Some of us are Canadian here. I've been cheering for Andrew Wiggins to come along. But that hasn't happened. There wasn't somebody who scored more than 16 in this game besides Steph Curry, and that's the problem. Wiggins has got a hot game, then a cold game, then a hot game, then a cold game. I think the NBA is pretty happy seeing the Lakers in the 9 seed and the Warriors right now in the 10 seed. They're thinking, well, this is good for the play-in. We'll see if the Rockets can pass them. Draymond Green said after the game, I don't care about the Rockets. You know, and he called the Timberwolves like the old Timberwolves. I don't know. He and them are just waiting for the end of the season and just hoping, but that's a long run. Even if they do make it through the play-in, that's going to be tough.
Let's keep it going here. I will give an interesting loser of the weekend to poor Mikal Bridges, and here's why. Because the Villanova Knicks held on to the fourth seed this weekend thanks to a 105-93 win over the Brooklyn Nets. So you've got Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson. They're thriving right now on this playoff-bound Knicks team. And their former college teammate, Mikal Bridges, he's had a brutal season. Disappointing year. Brooklyn's 26-45. You know, they're not even going to get into the play-in game. So after the game, Josh Hart decided to have a little fun at Bridges' expense, likening Mikal's situation there in Brooklyn to a classic pick that you've seen on the internet a million times. This is what Hart said. It's like that SpongeBob meme when Squidward is looking out the window and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick having fun. This is what, again, Hart said by way of Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News. Mikal is Squidward. So he's just looking down at all his old Villanova boys, you know, over for the Knicks, playing great, Madison Square Garden, and here's poor Mikal Bridges. Just, you know, the opposite, really. Just looking from afar. And he's had a bad year. And he couldn't keep up that strong play that he did exhibit at, when he got traded from the Suns to the Nets. Significant decline in efficiency and obviously production. And meanwhile, you got Jalen Brunson, all-star. DiVincenzo's having a career year. Had a great game against the Nets. Josh Hart's got, what, 5 triple-doubles over the last, like, 20-plus games. So these guys are all kicking ass. If they're podcasting with each other, it's just like they rip on every guy, it feels like, in the league, like in a charming way. And then so their bro here and Mikal Bridges are like, yeah, he's Squidward.
They even brought Mikal Bridges on their podcast and ripped him.
Yeah.
Him and the Nets to his face. And since then, he shot like 40% from the field.
Yeah.
This guy wants to be a Knick so bad.
I know. Like, I was thinking, he's going to be sitting courtside at Madison Square Garden, like, when the Knicks are playing the Magic or whatever, right? Like
him and Ryan Archie Diakono side by side.
Yeah, like they'll be there cheering on their guys and put them on the Jumbotron. You know, Knicks fans, come here. But anyway, that made me laugh. It's like Josh Hart's freaking hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's funny. He's very funny. He's got a lot of good lines this season.
And just great to get the SpongeBob meme in there.
Is that accurate? I guess. As far as SpongeBob goes, because I haven't consumed a lot of SpongeBob.
Well, the meme is like, oh, yeah, man.
The meme is accurate.
Look how fun they're
sure.
having. Waving together, him and Patrick. And he's just looking on.
Does Squidward go through some things in that
cartoon? I don't know.
Well, JD always talks about SpongeBob.
JD, can you break down SpongeBob for us?
That sure, specific episode. I remember that episode, I think. He's more furious that they're having fun, not feeling left out, as I remember.
Well, that's probably what Mikal Bridges is.
Yeah.
He probably is.
Serious, especially how disappointing they've been.
Yeah.
The Knicks are like 20 games better than them.
Yeah.
Which, again, last year, you know, I bought into it. You know, you definitely were saying, hey, let's temper the expectations on Bridges. I think he'll be an all-star. It's looking that way.
He was most improved favorite coming into this season.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been a bad year. And it's been a bad year for him and a bad year for this team. They've disappointed and, you know, obviously flipped coaches. And I think the front office might be on thin ice here at some point. Sean Marks is like, okay, come on, what are we doing here? And they're in the worst spot because at least a lot of these other bad teams, they have draft picks. They have draft capital. They have nothing.
Yeah.
They have literally nothing, the Nets. Like, it's like, they're bad, and you don't really have a lot. Like, I'm not sure how they're going to work their way out of this outside of trading maybe Bridges for a package, a solid return of picks or something like that. But then you're trading your best player, so.
They don't have a lot.
No.
I don't know what's going to happen with Ben Simmons in this offseason, going into his final offseason, before his last year of his contract, I should say. He's got 1 year left. I think part of them is hoping that they can get to a disabled player exception where they don't have to pay him and they can go pay somebody else because they can't draft anybody. So they can just hope to try and sign somebody else. But I think besides Mikal Bridges, it hasn't been a terrible season. He's still averaging 20 points, even though he's shooting less. It's not been a good season. The Cam Johnson signing has not worked out well at all for them. They signed him to a lot.
Yeah,
he has been extremely disappointing. The whole thing has been disappointing. They changed their coach, and they still aren't playing hard.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to slip in another loser of the weekend to the Portland Trailblazers court. I brought this up, I don't know, maybe a week or so ago. I said, have you seen the court here in Portland? It's all scuffed up in the paint. Looks brutal.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at Blazers _ Palace tweeted this photo over the weekend. Just look how brutal it's gotten. Like, they've given up. They don't even care anymore. This is like, we are showing this to everybody on YouTube. So podcast listeners, seek this out. It is beyond scuffed up there in Portland. So I guess they're just hoping to get through the end of the season here until they give it a nice coat of paint or something. I don't know.
And it looks like the day after your high school hosted the homecoming.
Yeah, that's right. I told you not to wear your dress shoes on the damn floor.
I thought I said non-scuffing shoes.
That's right.
All right, Randy.
Yeah.
The weird thing to me about Portland's court is that from the side angle, like from the sideline, is when it looks super scuffed up like that, because if you see the baseline angle, it looks fine.
Yeah.
It just looks like pure black paint.
Yeah.
And then you see it like that and they could use a buffer.
I had the chance this weekend because I helped coach the YMCA teams. We had a coaches tournament on the Hawks floor. So much fun. We did all right. Made it to the semifinals. My buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, and John. But
you had a tournament?
The point is, yeah. We had 11 teams. We tied our first game, won our next two. We lost in overtime in the semifinals. There's a clock. I mean, it was pretty legit. Point is, though, so many dead spots on this floor. It's crazy. You just sort of think like, these floors, they must be perfect. They are far from perfect. They're like, just like a couple spots. You're like, well, ball just dies there.
Really?
And so I get, you know, a little advantage, I guess, as the home team, if you learn your court.
Home court advantage.
That was the whole thing back in the Celtics days, right? In the 80s, like they would almost like try and sort of like drive the offensive player to particular parts of the floor because you knew it was going to be a dead spot. But yeah. I was shocked.
That would be shocking, because yeah, you're playing on the same floor that the Atlanta Hawks
are
playing
on. The Hawks played
on
later that night and kicked the snot out of the Hornets. Yeah,
and they didn't give you a crappy version of the floor.
No. The floor was the floor.
That was the Hawks
floor. I wasn't wearing my dress shoes out there either. Showed them the respect. Weird. Wearing the Sabrinas. But
is that the only black key in the league? No way. I mean, I don't think so.
I
can't remember off the top
of my head.
But
it's not very common.
Yeah.
And maybe this is why.
Brooklyn Nets, maybe.
The Nets probably have a black key.
They messed up. Yeah. They must have messed up a varnish.
Messed up. Big time.
Yeah, because that is crazy. And I was pointing this out weeks ago. I was like, hey, it looks pretty bad, doesn't it? And everyone's like, yeah, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So, okay, what about you, Tess? Take us home here. Your final loser of the weekend.
Just a quick stat. I'm a stat geek right now. Trailblazers started 5 rookies against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Only the second time that's happened since starters were tracked more than 50 years ago. Do you remember the other time that somebody started 5 rookies?
It's
hard.
It's the last game of the season situation, though. It's like, is it the Warriors?
Yeah, it is the Golden State Warriors.
Way back.
I saw the names. I forget what it was.
The names
ones
are hilarious.
Oh, I'll never get the names.
Yeah. You'll know one.
What year again? 2010, 11?
Clay Thompson.
Clay Thompson. Yeah. He was a rook. Yeah, so it's April 26, 2012. This is the lockout year where we went on tour right before the lock year. So maybe this is a little earlier in the season. Like, when did this? No, the season ended then, and it was just a shorter season.
I thought
season.
It was the last game.
Okay.
Because they were tanking. Like, they were leaning into, like, a tiebreaker tank situation.
When you're starting these four guys with Klay Thompson, I think you are correct.
Okay, let's hear them.
These are four names that are very, very difficult to think of. How many career games did these four play? All four.
Oh, wow.
Can we get any? Do we know them?
No, Festus. No, wait. Festus Healy is way better than all these guys.
I mean,
he got paid. These guys, I don't think, earned another contract.
Oh, wow.
Was there somebody that had the word, like, Barry in their name?
No.
Ed Middlebury?
No.
Ed Middlebury.
How can I give you a clue?
Yeah, good. Have some initials. Maybe initials.
Well, this one guy has the same. This is a weird. Weird.
Here we go.
Same last name as somebody played for the Raptors.
Okay.
Like for a good middle of the 2010s.
Okay.
Oh, man.
He was a small forward.
Peterson?
No. If you're not wrong, then you're.
Oh, right. Right. So
Chris Wright.
Chris Wright.
Oh my God.
Okay. Three.
I saw the names at one point, but I forgot what they were.
Okay. Chris Wright. Okay.
So there was actually going back to the Raptors. There was that player with this last name that hurt himself when he iced his leg. And it stayed on his leg for too long.
BJ Tyler.
Yeah, but it's another Tyler.
Oh,
Jeremy.
How do you remember
him? I remember him on the Warriors. Okay. He was like drafted super young or something like that.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember any of these guys. So there's two left.
My boy Ed didn't make it, huh?
No. So
Ed Middlebury.
No. we all know a writer. Blink's writer.
Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, but it's Glad something else.
That's his last name?
Joey Gladstone
or something?
No.
Oh.
If you're just happiness.
Danny Tanner got some time with the Warriors, I remember, but not for that.
No.
Not that season.
If you're going through
what about the guy from Hanging with Mr. Cooper? Didn't he play for the Warriors too? Yeah.
Yeah, I got some time.
These are two last names that you know others by.
Mikael Gladness.
Who? That's his name.
What the hell? I thought you were joking.
Yeah,
that's
no.
A guy, man. That's a guy, baby.
And then last one.
I thought you were literally joking. And then I thought you were joking.
Yeah, I thought I would be joking, too. Mikael Gladness?
I've never even heard of it. I don't know that name at all.
No.
And I'm a bit of a sicko. Wow.
And
okay.
The last one, quick here.
Yeah.
CJR is initials, because I got nothing.
CJR is initials.
CJ Toledano, CJ Stroud, CJ McCollum,
Johnson.
CJ Abrams, CJ...
No.
Corey Johnson.
Neither. Neither. CJ... It's neither a Johnson.
Jones.
Neither a...
CJ
no.
Rice.
It's a great last name, to be honest.
All
you
right.
May know a joke with it. Maybe. anyways, it's...
Just say it.
It's a Jenkins.
Chris?
Nah.
Corey?
Nah.
Claude?
Nah.
Carl.
Nah.
Nope, still not Chris. Cor? No. I only know three names.
So his name is C. Jenkins.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure this first.
Charles.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Well, sorry about that.
Big Charles Jenkins fan.
Had to give you that one. Had to give you that
okay.
one.
Okay.
Anyways,
wow.
Those are the Clay Charles Thompson Jenkins. Started with a Charles Jenkins, a Chris Wright, a Jeremy Tyler, and a Mikael Gladness.
So then the Blazers started Camara, Murray, Scoot, Duop Reith, and Rupert. Those are their five rookies. No, I bring them up.
From Survivor?
Rupert!
Give me the ball in the frame!
Nobody had shoes?
I guess the answer is, well, Clay was a part of that. Will, in, I don't know, how 20 years, well, not 20 years, but 10, 15 years' time, when inevitably another team starts five rookies, my point is, we're going to look back. And are we going to be like, whoa, that, you know, Chris Murray, Scoot Henderson.
Scootaloo.
Tumani. Yes. Like, I don't know, might be more memorable than those ones.
I think so.
Because Clay, but Clay brings it up because he's going to Hall of Famer. So
hopefully
Scoot,
the Scoot.
Better turn
we
into a Hall of Famer.
We need Scoot to be a Hall of Famer, but yeah. I am looking forward to task giving the hint of, this guy's last name is a decoration at the holidays.
Reese.
And his first name is a style of music that was popular in the 1950s.
Why not, man? It's desperate time. It's March, baby.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Wow. Happened. Do you have a weekend
Charles
loser?
Jenkins.
I'm going to go with Chris Dunn of the Utah Jazz, who's had a decent year.
Yeah.
He's had a decent year, but he got into it with the Houston Rockets. Got a little physical. He threw a little fist, I should say.
Threw a punch, yeah.
Yeah, he did not connect.
No.
And it was a really quick one, but he was hoping to connect with Jabari Smith's face. And unfortunately, Chris Dunn will be out for two games, suspended for two games, loses $35,000, he was grabbing that jersey of Jabari Smith. He was grabbing it, and he threw a quick fist. I don't know why Smith was really suspended for one game. Don't really know.
He was sort of fighting, too, though.
Kind of fighting.
defending himself a little bit, yeah.
But maybe this is a Rockets reputation thing because they get into some scrubs. Dylan Brooks and DeMar DeRozan recently. Dylan Brooks and Jared Vanderbilt earlier on in the season. Mm-hmm. Amen Thompson and Jeremy Sohan. Amen Thompson didn't do anything. But all that to say, Chris has had a fine year. And I think he'll be signed. But he lost $35,000. I think he does. I think he has earned himself some terms, some more years here in the NBA this year. I think he's done that.
This little altercation allegedly stemmed from a game prior, too, between these two, I guess.
Right.
This was a bit of a carryover with the tempers and right. the words being exchanged and then ultimately getting into it. But, yeah, two games for Chris Dunn, one game for Jabari, who will miss the next Rockets game. And we just got done talking about how important he had been. Didn't matter in that Jazz game, yep. but, you know, will the winning streak end because of that? Didn't play, but, okay, Chris Dunn, little loser of the weekend.
Yeah, a little loser for Christopher Michael Dunn. I didn't know that was his real name.
Christopher.
Yeah. I mean, am I mispronouncing? Is it Christopher? No, it's Christopher. That's his name.
Isn't it just Christopher?
Christopher. Yeah.
But hold on a second. Look at this spelling. It does not look like a Christopher. It's K-R-I-S-T-O-F-E-R. I guess it's Christopher.
That would be Christopher with a K, yeah.
Yeah, it is but, that unusual, not with the P-H. That is
no,
different.
Yeah.
Yes. And no H after the K, but fine.
Okay.
Anyway.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, this is an NBA show, but let's slip in a little March Madness. Actually, this is just a name guys type of show today.
Yeah,
but going to March Madness, the men's tournament, Michelle Steele tweeted this weekend. They were showing Dan Hurley on the screen. And she wrote, Dan Hurley's wife travels with a portable washing machine so Dan Hurley can launder and wear the same underwear night after night from last year's NCAA run. There was an accompanying video showing of this little washing machine that they do the laundry in. And then on the screen, we were getting the king of superstitions, Dan Hurley, UConn head coach. A couple things. He eats 8 M&Ms before every game. He drinks bulletproof coffee on the sidelines. Is bulletproof coffee with butter in it? Is that
yes,
what that is?
Yeah, you okay. can. So. You can yeah. do that. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then he dresses head to toe in the same clothing from last year's NCAA tournament run, okay. hence the portable washing machine. Same underwear and everything. Look, it's working. This guy leans into the superstitions. Point. Do you have any superstitions, either when it comes to basketball or whatever you do, or just in life? Do you guys follow any? Do you believe in it? Yes, no.
I just cry. And I feel so much better afterwards. It's a release of endorphins. I know people say work out, you release endorphins, it's good for you. That's hard. Crying's easier.
Just
takes like 30 seconds. Boom, done. I feel so much better.
What are you talking about? How is that a
superstition?
Like if I don't cry every morning, I'm going to have
Do
a bad
Do you cry
day.
Before the show like, every yes, morning? Is that what you're waiting to my get in your car?
Yeah. Yeah, he gets yeah. here at 9:30. He just sits in his car and cries.
Imagine being able to cry.
Neighbors have called, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. I would love that. If I could cry for half an hour, I'd feel so much better afterwards.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. But no, apparently it does. So I'm going to, I haven't cried in a long time. I got to get it back.
Do you have any, does anybody have an actual superstition?
I got tons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do the salt thing. If I spill salts, I do it.
Okay.
My mother ingrained it in me. Born in Belfast. She's a very superstitious woman. She's not very religious, but she's very superstitious. Huh. No shoes on the table. Comes up more often than you think with teenagers in the house.
Sure.
Yeah, just fucking leave their shit everywhere, including the table. That's a bad one.
Okay.
Clear the table with that. I'm just like, get those shoes off the table.
That's gross.
It is gross. That's I think that's just whatever. It's bad luck, but also pragmatic. It's like, hey, don't put your shoes on the table. Yeah, yes. But even new shoes on the table, you can't put on the table.
Whoa,
apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, that's even worse, apparently. Okay. And my latest one, this is a new one that I've developed in the last year. When I'm playing pickleball, before every single serve, before every play, I gotta hit my forehead with my paddle like this.
You're a psycho.
I know, yeah. Well, it's sort of to...
Like you tap it.
I tap it, but if I've had a bad... Like, if I fucked up, then I'm like...
Hard tap.
Which is not a good idea for somebody who suffers from terrible headaches a lot. But it's just like... It's to remind me to keep my paddle up and in front of me, right? It's just like something I just sort of like, I gotta remember. Boom. But now if I don't do it, I'm like, well, it's because I forgot to... To tap my head.
Because you're hitting your head with the side of the paddle.
The side of it, right? It's like an axe. Gonk.
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to hold
it.
Yeah,
you're going to have like a mark down your forehead.
I know. But superstitions, man. All right. They're powerful.
Trey, are you superstitious at all?
I just stick to the classics. No umbrellas inside. No walking under ladders. Don't love seeing black cats. I don't really think there's like any effect or anything, but you know, I do take notice when I see it. Like, oh.
So black cat's good luck, according to my mind.
I know. See, that's one of those ones. You're like, well, which one is it? It's like we talked about getting shit on by a bird.
Yeah.
It's like, is that bad luck or good luck? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. that's such a catch-22. That one's one you can't do that often.
I know another
one. Follow a bird around.
I know another one you do.
Yeah.
And I generally live by it as well, although I've forgotten from time to time. Probably a lot of basketball fans do it or players. Can't leave the gym with.
Can't leave on a miss.
Can't leave on a miss. That's usually, exactly right. You got to hit a three-pointer. Mm. Is what my sort of superstition is before you leave the gym. So when the run is over or you're leaving, you got to knock down a three.
That's
and then
very
you can
true.
Leave. Then you can go. Yeah, I've seen you definitely do that one.
Yeah, I like to make a three and then make a left-handed layup.
Oh, wow. You added to it. Well, outside, inside.
Anything to not go home.
Anything so this guy can leave the gym going like this to everybody. It's like, yeah, but there was nobody playing. I don't care. You see that? Left hand. All right, let's hear your superstitions in the stream team. Got any crazy ones? Let us know in the comments. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. We'll call it there. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern live on YouTube. So join us then. Hit the like button and subscribe. We'll have no buffs later this week. We're here all week. When does the college pick back up? The men's. I guess that's
Thursday.
On Thursday again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the women started a day later. Is that right? They're still deciding Sweet 16 today.
They have games today? I didn't know that.
I think so. I don't think they start on the Thursday. I think it starts on Friday. Anyway, lots of basketball.
Confirmed.
If you like basketball. Yep. You're watching basketball right now. But we will see you tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the five starters of the last rookie team, rookie starters, I should say, were Charles Jenkins, Clay Thompson, Chris Wright, Jeremy Tyler, and Mikael Gladness. What's a good hint for any of those names? Because I'm still thinking
those are
about
tough, man.
Three of those people
Jenkins.
I don't
there's
even
gotta
know
be a guy. There's gotta be a Jenkins. You know what Jenkins is.
Well, John Jenkins, we remember.
Oh, John. Leroy. Yeah,
Leroy.
That's the one. That's the one I was thinking LaTroy. I'm like, that's not it. It's Leroy, yeah.
They got a yellow, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, is LaTroy Hawkins, is that a guy?
Yeah.
He's a closer, I think, for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's what he does. Anyways. LaTroy.
Baseball?
Yeah.
You said Timberwolves.
I did.
You meant Twins.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Oh,
I was very confused. Like, closer for the Timberwolves.
Sorry.
Man. Thanks
I'm
for
sorry.
Clarifying. You can't leave
yeah.
on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't really say that all that well about the whole rookie starting lineup thing, even just now, so... A lot of things.
You
want to
take it from
well.
The top?
Yeah.
All right.
The Trailblazers started five rookies on Saturday.
Race the day, people.